All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. talking money. And today's show, we've been talking about the different investment, you know, why you got to get your money working for you. And I would encourage you to go to roymatlockjr.com. We just added this. It's called Know Your FIN Number. And that's your financial independence number. Let me give you an example of a FIN number. So let's say that you're 45 years old. Now, I'm just throwing some numbers out. There's all kinds. I mean, you'll understand this. But the FIN number is calculated. It's a number that will give you an idea if you get specific rates of return, if you go into and add inflation in there, and we put this all together, and then one you can look at it and you say, I've saved this much money, and if I do this and do this, this is what's going to happen. So let's say that your goal today was, you said, you know, if I had 50 grand a year coming in, I could quit right now, probably have Social Security, all right, probably get another, you know, 30 or 40 grand a year in Social Security, I would be happy. I could quit, you know, I could do what I want to do. I want 50 grand a year. Well, the rule of thumb. So let's say you're 45 years old and you're saying, I got 20 years out there. I want to have 50 grand. And the rule of thumb I tell people is you need 20 times your income. So now that means you should have $1 million right now. If you had $1 million at 5% interest, you could pull 50 grand a year. And if you were getting 7 or 8, you could have a little inflation bump and you could live that way, keep your lifestyle the same and never run out of money. That's just kind of a rule of thumb. All right. Now, but you're not there yet. You've got 100,000 saved right now and you've learned about investing. And so we said, well, first off, $1 million today in 20 years is going to be inflation. It's going to be about 2 million, doubles about every 20 years. So now we need 2 million. And because we're going to need 100 grand a year back when that happens. And you say, well, I got 100 grand saved right now. Well, if I can get 9% on it, that 100 grand is going to be 660,000. So I'm missing $1,332,000. That's what I'm missing right now to be able to do it, to be able to retire like that. So you say, well, what's the FIN number? The FIN number is $1,902 a month. How about that? And you just had the mathematical equation. You say, well, $1,902 a month, my company is going to match a percentage. I need to do a Roth IRA on top of that. But long and short, I need to get $1,902 a month put into my retirement account. And if I do that, guess what? I'm rocking, all right? And I can wake up and say, I know my FIN number, and all you got to do is just work through that, and you're off to the races. And that's where getting the proper asset allocation, having your number, I call it the goal. What's the goal? 50 grand a year in today's dollars. The plan is I need to the plan is to get there and save this money. I've got this much. I'm going to invest it at this. I'm going to save this. This is my number. It's 1902. And then my schedule is 20 years from now. I'm calling it a day. All right. And so that's how we go up the GPS. We call it, you have a goal, a plan, a schedule, and then you have a FIN number. That's your financial independence number that's going to allow you to quit and not worry about money, not worry about outliving it, not worry about any of that stuff. All right. And we put it in there. Then we go in, we choose our investments to reach our goals. Our assumption is, in this case, 9%. So we're going to go in and say, well, if we could get 9, this is what would happen. Okay. If we invest that money over a period of 20 years, take the money we've got, it gets 9, this is what's going to happen. Then we start choosing our spectrum of investing. And so we talked about the growth side and the stock side. And keep in mind, everybody is different, all right? Everybody's different. And so what I try to do is connect people in a way that their risk tolerance, they're comfortable with it, but their capacity, and that's the amount of money, the amount of risk they have to take to reach their goals. Let me give an example. If we took this 1902 at 9% and we said we're only getting 8%, well, guess what's going to happen? That number's going to go way up, okay, over a 20-year period. If we turn around and say I'm only getting 3%, we may come back and say at 3%, you need to save $7,000 a month. You're like, that's impossible. So your capacity of risk, hey, I understand that you'd love to be able to never lose money, never have volatility, but it's just not going to work, okay, if you are putting your money at such a low rate of return that you can do it. So what happens is you start figuring out, you know, what is my tolerance? What is my capacity? We'll talk more about that. And so we got stocks, which are more longer term growth. We got bonds, which are tending to be, you know, more conservative. There's different types of bonds. You've heard of junk bonds or high yield bonds. Those are just bonds that are companies that have to pay higher interest rates, and mutual funds go buy those. They say, hey, this company's really financially more stable than they appear in the rate. We're getting a high rate of return. We're going to get our money back. We're actually buying the bond at a discount. They research bonds. They do that. They have corporate bonds, which are investment-grade bonds, big companies issue it. And the reason you buy bond is you're saying, I'm comparing it to the bank, and the FDIC is the strongest insurance, but I feel pretty comfortable that Exxon's going to be around forever, all right? And so I'm going to buy that, or I might buy the city bonds, which are municipal tax-free bonds. I might even buy U.S. government securities, which is still paying better than the bank. And so anyway, so we go in, or we buy some balance fund, which will have some stocks and bonds and stuff like that. And a lot of things now, because we've got interest rates at just such an all-time low right now. I mean, it's just it's crazy how low rates are. So we're maybe replacing some of those bonds with possibly, if you're at or near retirement, maybe consider an annuity, even something like a fixed indexed annuity. Am I recommending anything right now? No, I'm not recommending things. What I'm saying is we have to look at our choices. When we have bonds and interest rates at such a low rate, it's great for borrowers, but it's not very good for fixed income savers. All right. And so we start looking through all that, and then we come up and we start saying, well, all right, we're going to do that. And then what my experience has been is that what you need to be thinking about is we're gonna put it in there. We're going to allocate it correctly. We're going to say, you know what, I got 70% of my money is going in the stock market across large company stocks. I'm going to put 30% into something that's more conservative because I'm near retirement or I'm getting ready to retire. I'm going to take part of that. I'm going to put it in bonds. I'm going to put part of it in some type of annuity. So here we go. I'm retired. I might turn around and say, I'm going to take half of my money in the market. The other half of my money I'm sticking into an annuity, okay, or bonds or whatever it is. And we go through and we start doing all those kind of things. And then one day we wake up and we say, wow, this is pretty chill. I like this, okay? I'm going to continue to work toward, you know, getting control, and I'm going to quit worrying about timing the market. I don't care. I'm just going to put it in there, all right? You know, one of the things that I do with people, for the most part, you know, if you come to me and you say, hey, I got all this money in cash, more than likely I'm going to do something called dollar cost average you into the market. What that means is the word dollar cost averaging means we're going to take, let's say you got $100,000 and it's sitting in the bank and you're scared to death of the stock market. I mean, you're just like, man, I don't know, you know, just be by luck that as soon as I put my money in, the market's going to crash. All right. So what if you were in the mindset that you hoped it went down? That would be pretty cool, right? I hope the market goes down. The reason you hope it would go down is you brought that $100,000 in, and then what happened is that $100,000, you decided you're going to put in $10,000 a month automatically every month until the $100,000's invested. So now every time the market goes down, guess what happens? You're buying at a discount. And then if it just comes right back up to where it was, you dollar cost average in and you bought it at a discount to the market. So the market's the same as it started at the beginning. 10 months later, it's the same, and it was down the whole time, and you're buying shares at a discount. So that's a way that we teach people about, you know, moving into the market and stuff like that, dollar cost averaging. You're doing that with your 401k because it's being invested every month. And so things like that. So we believe time is the key, not timing. So with that, here's what we're going to do. We got one more segment, and we are going to walk you through risk tolerance, all that kind of stuff. I would encourage you, go to RoyMatlockJr.com. If you like the show today, go to RoyMatlockJr.com, or you can go and Google Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour and get our podcast. Start getting educated. We'll be right back.